ahead and turn over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. So, Luke chapter 5 and verses 1 through 16. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." But the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness to us and your faithfulness. Thank you for the gift of your word. And we pray that as we come before your word, that you would speak afresh to us. Help us to hear you, to receive you, to respond in obedience. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So most of you know that we've been kind of working through the Gospel of Luke these past few Sundays, and that Jesus has begun preaching and teaching. He went through his baptism, he went through a time of temptation, and then he started his ministry. And he's roughly 30 years old or so, and he is beginning to go about teaching and preaching and healing people along the way. And one of the things that we saw was that he healed Peter's mother-in-law and made her well. But we also saw that as Jesus was doing these good things, that already people were starting to kind of reject him a little bit. And so that when he was at his hometown synagogue and preaching there, that he kind of got a divided response. That some people were really kind of impressed with his teaching and what he was saying. But he also talked about how God extended mercy, extended grace, salvation to Gentiles. And we saw that when he got done saying that, that there were people that were ready to push him off a cliff and be done with him. And so Jesus has been preaching and he's been teaching and he's starting to get a following, but he's also starting to get a very divided response. Well, here we see that Jesus is once again teaching, and he's by the Sea of Galilee. Luke calls it a slightly different name, calls it the Lake of Gennesaret. Same lake, couple of different names. And that people are so crowding around Jesus, they're expecting to hear the word of God. And so Jesus has become known as one who when he teaches, that they're not just hearing a person, that they're not just hearing a man, that God is actually at work in him and through his ministry, through his teaching. And so when they come expecting to hear from God. Now, they haven't figured out yet that he is the Son of God. They haven't figured out who he is. They just know that when he teaches, it's like God is speaking to them. And so they have come and they have gathered around him, they're crowding around him, and they have come to hear the word of God. And it's such a crowded situation that they're pressing against Jesus. And so it's kind of like he's got the crowd in front of him and the lake behind him. And he's looking for a way to minister to the people. And so he sees that there are two boats there. Now, Simon and his company, so to speak, they have been fishing all night long. And so they have come in. We think it's the morning time. They are at work cleaning their nets. And so they've parked their boats on the shore. And Jesus gets into one of the boats. It's the boat that belongs to Simon. And he tells Simon to push out a little bit. And so Jesus sits down in the boat and he begins to teach the people as they are kind of along the shore. And so I want you to imagine that for just a moment, that Jesus gets into the boat and he is now teaching from the boat. That instead of teaching at the synagogue, he is teaching from this boat. And the people are kind of gathered around the shore, and he's out a little bit, and he's sitting down, and he's teaching them. What would you have done if you were Peter? Like, it's your boat. And you know a little bit about Jesus, but I mean, just imagine that you've worked all night, and it hasn't been a very productive night, as we see, that they've worked all night, they haven't caught any fish. They've parked their boat on the shores, and so one of the things that they have to do each morning is they have to clean their nets. And so when they've cast their nets, they probably get all kinds of plant life and whatever in their nets, and so they got to clean the nets, get them ready for the next day's work or the next night's work when they go out fishing again. And so your boat's parked there, and here comes Jesus, and you know, you don't know that he's the Son of God. You know he's done some good things. Some powerful things. You know that God is at work in him. I mean, he healed your mother-in-law, but he just goes and gets in your boat and then asks you to kind of put the boat out a little bit from the shore, and he's going to sit down and teach from there. Okay. Let's look at it a different way. Maybe not the best way. But let's say that Jesus is over to your house. And he's at your place, and Jesus goes into your kitchen, and he opens the refrigerator. How do you feel? Say it, Jose.
Say you have to wait there, Jesus.
Yeah, wait. Like, that's my fridge. And so what I want you to see is that this is kind of, you know, we read this, but we don't always stop and think, wow, like, what? How would I react if somebody just came along, even if it's Jesus, and decides to get in my boat after I've parked it, and then tells me to put out a little bit, well, you know, I'm busy. And so Peter's response is he does it. And it's Peter's boat, but it's in service to Jesus. And so it's kind of like once Jesus is in the boat, even though it's still Peter's boat, and even though Jesus is still kind of requesting from Peter that he takes his boat and parks it a little bit out in the water so that Jesus can teach from there, that once Jesus is in the boat, that boat is in service to Jesus. And so again, if Jesus came into your house or your kitchen, and it's still kind of yours, but now it's in service to him. Jesus gets on your car or the back of your truck. Well, it's still kind of yours, but now it's in service to Jesus. And so Peter obliges and Jesus teaches. And do you know what Jesus taught? Trick question. Luke doesn't tell us. He just says that Jesus taught the people, and that when he was finished, now he tells Peter to put out into deeper water. So what's going to happen here is that Luke doesn't, at this moment, go ahead and tell us everything that Jesus taught. Instead, what becomes the lesson is the miracle. And so we're going to have a miracle of a big catch of fish, and that becomes the lesson. And it's also the calling of Peter. And so the miracle serves kind of this larger purpose of, of kind of the calling of Peter, and it's also a lesson. And so we want to look at that. So go with me now to, let's see, where are we? We are at verse 4. So when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Now, I don't know about you, but one of the questions that I kind of want to know is, how deep is deep? And how far out did they have to go? And so the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Gennesaret, as Luke calls it here, it was a pretty big lake. I don't know that it was Lake Michigan size, but it was still a pretty good lake, pretty good sized lake. And one of the interesting things about this lake is that it's actually below sea level. So it's almost 800 feet below sea level. And so kind of a mountainous area. And so you can imagine some ravines or some cliffs, and it looks like the lake was probably nestled kind of in that. It gets deep, and it gets deep pretty quick. And it was roughly 33 miles of shoreline. So if you're going to walk around the lake right on the shore, it was a 33-mile walk. That would be like walking from here to Escondido, 33-mile walk around the shoreline. And at its longest part, it was about 18 miles long. So you could not see across the lake. You know, 18 miles, where would that get us to? Rancho Penasquito, somewhere up there? And so you can't see that far. So you would look out in one direction over the lake, and all you would see was water. And then at its widest point, it was about 13 miles wide. And so it was kind of a rectangular shape, and it wasn't a perfect rectangle, but at its widest point, it's about 13 miles wide, and then it's at its longest point, it's 18 miles long, and it's 33 miles all the way around if you're going to walk the shoreline. Where Jesus is at, it's kind of on the northeast part of the shoreline, and so it would be kind of at the top of the longest part. And so if you looked out, you couldn't see the other side. And the way it's kind of shaped is that that's also where the wider part was. And so it would look pretty expansive. And he tells him to put out into the deep. The average depth of the lake was 84 feet. And at its deepest point, it's about 140 feet deep. So put out into the deep. I don't know how deep is, but it would get deep pretty quickly. And it wouldn't be too long before you're in 40, 50, 60, 80 foot deep water. So put out into the deep. Now, the other thing is that as they go out, what we learn is that they don't go so far out that they can't see the shore. And so once they begin to kind of catch this miraculous catch of fish, they're able to signal to the other boat, to their fellow fishermen on the shore, to come out and help them. So it got deep pretty quick, and it's not long till they're in 40 feet of water, but they are not out there to where they're out of sight from the shoreline. They can still make contact with the shoreline and call for help. So Jesus tells Peter to put out into the deep and to let their nets down, and that they're going to get a catch of fish. Now, did you notice Peter's response? What did Peter say? He said, "Master, we have toiled, labored, fished all night and didn't catch anything." Now, the nighttime is when you would fish in deep water. That all the fishermen knew that you didn't go deep fishing in the daytime. That was a nighttime activity. And they actually had two types of nets. So sometimes it would be kind of a single person job where you cast a net and you did this along the shoreline. And this is what you did in the daytime. That you would kind of have a net about so big and you would kind of cast it out in the shallow water, and the net would kind of fall over whatever fish were there and kind of trap them, and you'd gather up the net, or you might, if depending on how deep the water is, you might dive in and kind of lasso the net together and come back up with it, and you have your catch. And you did that in the shallow water, and you did that in the daytime. But you also had a different kind of net that you'd use at nighttime for the deep water. And this net was much bigger and much more expansive, and you'd kind of let that net down, and then you'd kind of enclose it and catch the fish that way. And this was the kind of net that they were cleaning. And so when Peter says that we have toiled all night long and we haven't caught anything, he's kind of like saying, Jesus, you don't really know what you're saying. You don't really know this business of fishing. See, who was the fisherman? Peter was. What did Jesus' dad do? I mean, I know he was the creator God, but what did his kind of human father do? Anybody remember? Carpenter. So Jesus would have grown up kind of learning how to work with wood. Fishing was not his business. And yes, he was a rabbi. He was a teacher. He knew the scriptures well. And so he would be respected for knowing the scriptures. And in terms of working with his hands, he would have been seen as somebody who knew carpentry. And so for Jesus to be in Peter's boat and telling Peter, okay, Peter, now we're going to go fishing. Put out into the deep water and drop the nets. You're going to get a great catch. And Peter's response is, Master, we've worked hard all night and didn't catch anything. And we're the fishermen, you know. But then what does Peter say? But because you've given me this word to do, I'll do it. And so Peter is obedient. Now, I want to pause there for just a moment. We don't know Peter's attitude here. We don't know exactly what he was feeling or thinking. Did he agree to do it to kind of just show Jesus that Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about? Like, Jesus, I'm the one who knows fishing. Yes, you're the master. And out of respect, I'm going to go out and I'm going to drop the nets, but you'll see. You'll see that you don't really know what you're talking about, but I'm going to do it. Okay, that could be the attitude. The attitude could be maybe a little bit more positive, that instead of with this desire to kind of show Jesus or prove to Jesus, he's going to do it out of honor. That he's protesting a little bit, like, Jesus, you don't really know, but to honor your request, you're worthy of this honor, I'll go ahead and do it, and I'll drop the nets. But there's no way that Peter is really expecting that they're going to catch anything. So it's almost kind of a begrudging obedience, whether it's done out of honor, whether it's done to show Jesus, whether there's some other motivation at work here. By virtue of what he has said, that we toiled all night and we caught nothing, but I'll go ahead and do it because you said to. He's doing it because Jesus said, not because he thinks he's going to catch anything. And when they drop the nets, and all of a sudden there is this huge catch of fish, and it's so huge that it's starting to break the nets. And they have to signal for the other boat to come out and to help them. And so the other boat comes on out and gets out there quickly. And they start loading the fish into both boats, hauling the net in. That both boats start to sink. Now, obviously, they didn't sink. They made it back to the shore. But there are fish everywhere. And it's the last thing that Peter expected. And did you see what Peter did in the middle of all the fish? He bowed before Jesus' knees. And what does he say to Jesus? Depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. It's significant that he has moved away from calling Jesus simply Master to calling him Lord. And he's beginning to recognize that something's going on here with Jesus that he hadn't noticed before, hadn't been impacted by yet. That it's kind of one thing for Jesus to be able to do a miracle, to be able to heal his mother-in-law, to get rid of a fever. I mean, that's kind of one thing. But it's like it's bumped up to a whole new level because in this miracle, what Peter is realizing is the power of Jesus even over the fish, the knowledge of Jesus to know where the fish are and what's going to happen, the power of Jesus over this area where Peter thought he knew everything. He discovers that Jesus knows far more. And so something is going on here to where all of a sudden in this miracle, he discovers that he's being encountered by God. And so, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. What would your response have been? I mean, on the one hand, we might think like, wow, Jesus, I wish you would come fishing with us all the time. Like, we can make some money doing it this way. I mean, so on the one hand, there might be this kind of sense, well, wow, it's good to have Jesus in the boat. And almost start to use Jesus. But that's not Peter's response. It's not, wow, Jesus can help me be more successful in the fishing business. What's that, Tony? Yeah. Away from me, depart, I'm not worthy. And I had Carl read Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Did you notice any parallels there? When Isaiah is in his vision, when he sees the throne of God, what does Isaiah cry out? Woe is me, I'm ruined, I'm undone. Why? Because I have unclean lips, and I'm among a people of unclean lips, and I have seen the glory of the Lord. And so Peter is having a very kind of Isaiah moment right here, where he doesn't just see fish, he doesn't just see a miracle. What he sees is basically God at work in Jesus. And it's a holy moment, not just a miraculous moment. And in the midst of this holy moment and beginning to sense that God is at work in Jesus, Peter realizes that he's unworthy. And so away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. I am not fit for your presence. I'm not worthy. And what's Jesus tell him? Don't fear. Do not fear. I haven't come to destroy you. I haven't come to ruin you. Do not fear. From now on, you're going to catch men. From now on, you're going to fish people. And what Peter does and what his companions do is that when they return to shore and they get all the fish ashore, he's done. And he walks away from the fishing business and he begins to follow Jesus. And he gives his life to following Jesus. And the promise of Jesus comes true that Peter becomes a fisher of men. And God uses him to gather people to Jesus the rest of his life. And he will gather people of all kinds, and he will gather people from all places. And so just as that miracle occurred where he gathered all of these fish, so many fish that the boat was beginning to sink, that's basically what Peter will do as a follower of Jesus. That if we looked through Acts, we would see Peter gathering people to Jesus and from all different walks of life. Now, I could probably stop there, but I want us to go a little bit further into the next story. And so Peter becomes this fisherman, and the promise is going to come true, and he's going to leave everything to follow Jesus. But then look at the next story. What if we started thinking about this next story as a fishing trip? And so here goes Jesus. He's in one of the towns, and it's a fishing trip. And what's going to happen is that there's a man who comes along who is covered with leprosy. And this man sees Jesus, and like Peter, he fell with his face to the ground, and he begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." And so the man went and told about what Jesus did, and now there's even more crowds coming. Now, leprosy is kind of an interesting illness or sickness, and you notice that the language is that Jesus cleansed him. And the leper says, not Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me, but Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. And Jesus says, I am, be cleansed, not be healed. Okay, there's a reason why the language is like that. That they didn't see leprosy as any ordinary kind of illness. They saw it as a disease that defiled you. A disease that made you kind of a threat, if you will, to the rest of society, even to your own home. And so you were considered not just to be sick, but to be defiled. And so you were quarantined off. You were kind of isolated from everybody. So if you had leprosy, you were not allowed to go to the temple to worship God. You were unfit for that place. You were defiled, and you might contaminate it. And you really weren't allowed to be out in public. And you had to announce yourself so that people had time to kind of get away from you, lest they become defiled. And even within your own home, you really couldn't eat with your family. You were kind of quarantined off. You were considered unclean, defiled. You would contaminate. And so here is this man, and he's not just asking for healing. He's asking to be cleansed so that he can kind of rejoin everything, so that he can be kind of counted as human again. And so, Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. And Jesus says, I am, be clean. And then Jesus says, go show yourself and to demonstrate to the priest that he really is cleansed, and now he can come back in and worship God. He can return to his family. He can return to communal life. Did you notice that Jesus touched him? That Jesus reached out his hand and touched this person that everyone else was afraid to touch. He reached out his hand and he touched the person and said, I'm willing, be clean. And Jesus was not worried about being contaminated. He wasn't worried about being defiled. He wasn't worried about somehow contracting leprosy himself. That Jesus touched the man. I don't know how long it had been since anybody touched him. May have been a long, long time since someone reached out and touched him. And Jesus touched him and said, I'm willing, I'm not afraid of your leprosy, be clean. And he was cleansed. Fishing trip. It looks to me that one of the things that Jesus is teaching Peter, because remember Peter is following, that when we go fishing and we catch this huge number of fish, that we don't have to be too worried about quote-unquote unclean fish. That we'll touch them. We'll catch them. We'll make them fit to belong. And so I think that's probably a pretty important lesson for Peter to learn kind of on his first fishing trip. That we don't kind of say, we're not catching those fish. They can contaminate the whole bunch. That we'll catch fish, but not lepers. That the very first episode, when after Jesus tells Peter, hey, you're going to fish for people, the very first episode we hear about is a leper. Somebody that no one wanted. Someone that was considered unclean. Someone that was considered unfit. Not worthy of belonging. And Jesus says, I'm willing. Be clean. And he touches them. Pretty important lesson for Peter to learn from the get-go. Now, I don't know quite where you're at in the stories here. Maybe you are identifying more with Peter today, and that you're beginning to discover that Jesus has kind of gotten in your boat, And it might be your boat at home, it might be your boat at work, it might be your boat, I don't know what your boat is. But you may have this sense that all of a sudden Jesus has kind of stepped into your boat and he's asking you to do some things, and he even dares to tell you to do some things, to put out into the deep. And maybe it's the stuff that you think you know well and that Jesus really doesn't have a clue about. Well, if that's you, listen to Jesus. Peter didn't think Jesus had a clue, but you got to give Peter credit. He listened. I don't think he listened with faith. I think he just listened. And if that's where you're at today, try to be a little bit like Peter, to where you listen. Even if you don't think anything's going to come of it, even if you think Jesus is out of his mind and doesn't get this. I mean, there's a lot of things that Jesus gets, but he doesn't get my boat and he doesn't get my world and he doesn't get, you know, how this place works. Listen to Jesus. And as you listen to Jesus, what you will discover, I think, is that Jesus is at work to call us into his mission, to call us into his ministry of gathering people to him and into God's kingdom. And so maybe that's you today, to where you're kind of connecting with Peter and you sense that Jesus is starting to ask you to do some things, and there are things that don't make sense to you, but you're pretty sure that it's Jesus in the boat asking you to do some things, and I would just say do them. And you will discover that Jesus is at work in that, not simply to kind of make a miracle happen in terms of a lot of fish, but at work in terms of calling you into discipleship and calling you into his kingdom coming work of being used to gather people to him. So, I don't know, I guess you could say it this way, that at this point, Peter's the fish that's being caught, and he's being caught by Jesus. Maybe the person you identify with today is not so much Peter, but the leper, to where you have felt untouchable, that nobody wants you, that it's almost like you're not fit to be anywhere, but to just live in isolation. And the good news is that whatever the cause of that, that Jesus is not afraid to touch you. That Jesus is not afraid to reach out and to embrace you. And that Jesus is willing to cleanse you. And that Jesus desires to do so. And through his touch and through his word, you too can be made clean, made fit. You belong. And this is a place you belong. Jesus is at work amongst us to touch us and to make us all belong and fit for him. So I don't know whether you're more with Peter, more with the leper. But I think this is the main thing. What did Peter and the leper have in common? Well, they both listened. They both bowed before Jesus. So Peter, with the huge catch of fish, is now bowing down in the midst of the fish before Jesus and kind of putting himself at the feet of Jesus. And what does the leper do? Somehow he comes to Jesus and he places himself at the feet of Jesus. Both Peter and the leper at the feet of Jesus. That's where we need to be. We need to make sure that we are there, bowed before Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, open to whatever Jesus wants to do in our lives. Cleansing us, making us into fishermen. And that's the message. Be at the feet of Jesus and give Jesus permission to do what he wills to do in our lives. And if we stay there and we stay open, we will discover that through us, Jesus touches the untouchable. We will discover that through us, there's a lot of fishing that goes on with Jesus bringing people to himself through our lives. So I invite you to stand with me and we will take communion together this morning, as we do every week. And Charlene, if you would come and lead us in Hallelujah, I Am Free, and Alex, and I think probably the two of you, Hallelujah, I Am Free. And I invite you to come and receive the bread, receive the cup, return to your seats. We will take communion together. But as you come, symbolically, prayerfully, be at the feet of Jesus. And be willing to be obedient. Be willing to have Jesus do what he wills to do in your life.